people began to speak in tongues. People heard the gospel in their own languages. Now, the reality is that most of those people probably spoke Greek. They spoke a common language. It was the language of the street. It was the language of commerce. Those who were sophisticated enough to be able to actually travel to Jerusalem probably spoke Greek. And those who didn't speak enough could certainly have understood from other people telling them what was going on. God did not have to speak in all these different languages. But, you see, language is not just about understanding. Language is about heart. Language is about what goes on inside of here. And I have to tell you, I get asked a number of times, my wife Rhonda and I live in Sweden, and we work in Russia. And when we live in Sweden, people, sometimes Americans will say, well, what do you miss most about America? And I think they're expecting me to say something like, you know, peanut butter, something like that. The reality is we can get peanut butter. But what I miss the very most is preaching without translation, preaching without the encumbrance of having somebody having to say what it is and having to wait and so forth. And so I am so excited to be here today. I can hardly stand it. And Ryan, are you in here? There he is, back there. Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to be here today and for giving me permission for giving up your pulpit, something that I was very stingy about myself in the day. So let's bow our heads as we pray. Father God, this morning we again give you thanks and praise. We acknowledge that you are God and we are not. We acknowledge that you speak and we listen. And so this morning, God, we ask that you would speak again, that you would give us ears to hear, and that you would give us minds to understand and hands and feet to do what you say. We pray this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The doctrine of the Trinity is the greatest scandal in the Christian church. At least that's what some people think. Both Jews and Muslims, they don't understand how Christians can call themselves monotheists and still worship a God who's separated into three parts, Father, Son, and Spirit. Atheists say that the Latin theologian Tertullian invented the entire concept of the Trinity in the 4th century. And truth be told, most Christians, would have a very difficult time explaining the Trinity if pressed to do so. I've had a number of you in confirmation, Alex Carlson, and I know that to be true. Check out this clip from The Late Show with Ricky Gervais is being interviewed, comedian Ricky Gervais, who's an avowed atheist, is being interviewed by Late Show host Stephen Colbert, who's a practicing and fairly knowledgeable Catholic.
Well, yeah, but we're all sinners, aren't we, according to your lot?
Right, and we're only saved by the grace of God, but, you know,
sure.
We don't deserve it. We don't deserve it, Ricky. So what's the... Well, I got no guarantee I'm going to heaven. Only one person was ever guaranteed entrance into heaven.
Who's that?
Oh, the good thief who was hanging next to Christ. He said, this very day shall you be with me in paradise. That's what he said to him. Christ himself gave him the... Boom, gave him the stamp. He validated his parking right there.
Oh, no, but wasn't...
Yeah.
But wasn't Christ God in a different form?
He was both God and man, yeah, fully.
Yeah, but God was Jesus, wasn't he?
Three persons in one God, yeah.
Right.
The bedrock of Western civilization.
And he knew he was sending himself to earth to die for our sins and then go to heaven?
Yeah, because he sees all of time at once.
Sounds a bit far-fetched to me.
Sounds a bit far-fetched to me, he says, met with a kind of a nod. The Holy Trinity, one God, three persons, absolute truth, great mystery. God the Father, who some call the God of the Old Testament, his voice speaks and thunders and whispers, but it is always heard by those who will listen. And the people are told, wait, wait for the Messiah. God the Son, the Word made flesh, the image of the invisible God. In the story of the Nativity, Christ is born and God manifests himself as Messiah and Savior. And the people are told, wait for the Advocate. God the Holy Spirit, eternally present and finally poured out on the waiting worshipers. In the story of Pentecost, the church is born and God manifests himself as the Holy Spirit, and the people need wait no more. Today we're going to turn our attention to God, the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read for you from John chapter 14, verses 25 through 27. These are what I would call red letter words. If you have one of those Bibles that has it's a red letter edition, they're the words of Jesus. These are all red letter words I'm going to read here. This is not commentary. This is Jesus speaking. Are you ready? Jesus looks at his disciples and says, all this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything that I have said. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Red words, the words of Jesus. I'm going to focus pretty exclusively on verse 26, which is on the screen here. I'm going to go phrase by phrase. It starts out with the words, but the Advocate. Jesus talks about, but the Advocate. He says, I'm going to be with you a while, but the Advocate. And this word Advocate is, in the original version, is the word paraclete or parakletos. It comes from two words put together. The first word is para, which means alongside. It's something that comes alongside. It's this prefix. It's like in the word parachurch, like Young Life or YD is a parachurch ministry. It comes alongside the church. Or Paralympics. You've got the Olympic Games and you've got these other games that come alongside that are similar to them and support them and are similar to them, the Paralympics. Then you have like, a parachute. And so you have a chute. And if you miss the chute, then you need the parachute. No, it doesn't work. But it's alongside, and then the other word, so that's para, and then kletos means to call. So the word means to be called alongside. Some of the definitions from that would be to be summoned, to be called to one's side, especially called to one's aid. So if someone is injured or hurt, they would have a paraclete that would come alongside them to their aid. Another is one who pleads for them, like in the case of a judge. It's like the counsel for the defense. It's like an attorney. This is where we get the word advocate. The Swedish word and the Russian word for lawyer actually is advokat. Both of them are that word advocate, someone who comes alongside, someone who pleads your case. And then to take it out of the legal realm, just someone who's there to plead someone's cause with someone else, someone like an intercessor. Almost we've got Dave and Sue over here are ready to intercede for you after the service, to pray for you. And who's going to pray for you, Dave? You're on your own. Okay. In the widest sense, this word paraclete means a helper, one who gives aid, one who comes alongside, one who assists, one who advocates. Jesus says, I'm going to be leaving, but this paraclete, that is, he wants to make sure they understand who he's talking about. This is not some abstract term. This is not some mystery. He says, I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. The paraclete, this is the Holy Spirit. Let me remind you what we're talking about here. Let me remind you that we are talking about God when we talk about the Holy Spirit. Okay, you see, right there would be a great opportunity for someone to just say amen or, that's right or something. You know, Rhonda and I, we live in this kind of, this is a parenthesis, this is not in my notes, okay? So this is free. This is a freebie. We live in this kind of schizophrenic world with one foot in Sweden and the other foot in Russia, and because of relationships that have been built over the years, we work almost exclusively with Pentecostals when we're in Russia. And Pentecostals are somewhat expressive. And so it's always fun, it's always great. And then we live in Sweden. And sometimes when I preach in Sweden, I have to ask for some help, you know, because I'm up there by myself and I feel kind of lonely, and I have to ask for some help from the people to kind of make sure I know they're listening, and I don't think I need to ask it from you. I don't need you to be gratuitous. But let's give this another shot. Let me remind you that when we talk about the Holy Spirit, we are talking about God. God, He's co-eternal with the Father and the Son. The Spirit is not an afterthought. The Spirit is not optional equipment in your spiritual package. The Holy Spirit is God. He is the paraclete, the advocate. He is none other than God Himself. That's who Jesus is talking about when He says, there's going to be an advocate with you. There's going to be a helper with you. There's going to be a counselor with you. There's going to be a paraclete with you. He's saying that God will be with you. And He says that this paraclete, who is the Holy Spirit, is one that the Father will send in Jesus' name. You see, Jesus knows that there's a tension, and there's a possibility of beginning to kind of split these things apart, and Jesus is bringing it all back together again. He says, this Holy Spirit is sent from the Father in my name. We are one. We are three in one. We are together. Does your skin get a little goosebumpy when you sing, holy, holy, holy? It should. I shouldn't say should, right? It should. It should, if you understand what we're talking about. And Jesus says, whom the Father will send in my name. And then Jesus tells his disciples, and they've got to have a measure of disappointment here, because Jesus is talking about when he's gone, and they don't want him to leave. They don't want him gone. But Jesus says, this is going to be amazing. This is going to be awesome. I'm really not leaving. And here's what this Spirit is going to do. This is what this paraclete is going to do. He's going to, first of all, teach all things. Now, Jesus just spent 3 years of his life teaching these disciples. He's been teaching them all sorts of stuff. But he's getting ready to leave. And so he's saying to them, the Spirit is going to continue to teach. The Spirit is going to carry on this ministry. You see, God does not stop teaching. God continues to teach as we continue to change over our lifetimes. Aren't you glad that we continue to change? Aren't you glad that we can continue to learn and to grow? Aren't you glad that you are not the same person you were 3 years ago when Rhonda and I left? Aren't you glad you're not the same person 12 years ago or 15 years ago when we came? Aren't you? I know Rhonda's glad that I'm not the same person I was 37 years ago when we got married. Amen. You are spiritually anointed, sir. Spirit continues to teach. And then he says, and I love this, he says, and the Spirit will remind you of everything I have taught, of everything I have said. You see, we need to be reminded because we have faulty memories. And the older we get, the faultier they get. Our memories are cheesy, aren't they? And they just get holes, and somehow we need to remember. Over the years, I've had some opportunity to actually reflect on my life and reflect on my life as a pastor. And one of the things that I think of as a pastor is one of my main jobs is to remind people who they are. Sometimes I need to remind people that they're loved by God because they don't remember that. Sometimes I need to remind them that this world is a good place, that God has provided good things, because sometimes this world is can knock us down, and they need to be reminded that God in His grace is here. Sometimes I need to remind men that they're married because they tend to forget. Sometimes I need to remind women that they're married and that they're husbands and wives and mothers and fathers. need to remind people that they're children of God, and they're also slaves of God. The Holy Spirit is going to remind us of those things, all of those things. He is our advocate. He is our paraclete who comes alongside. Now, in preparation for being here today, Pastor Ryan asked me to reflect on this verse and to share where I see the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. Well, let me begin by saying that God is alive in our world today. Now, there may be dark and disappointing situations, but God is on the move. It is God who changes and transforms lives. Yes, God is on the move. Less than 2 months ago, I had one of those experiences that bears reflecting upon, and it happened at lunch. Now, not all of my reflections, spiritual and otherwise, are about food. But on Saturday, this last April 29th, lunch consisted of thin soup, long tables, and empty eyes. I'd left the city of Volgograd in Russia that morning for the long drive to the drug and alcohol rehab center along with my friend, Pastor Simon. We drove for nearly 2 hours over roads, both good and bad, mostly bad, until the final 2 kilometers were really just a dirt track that threatened the very existence of Pastor Simon's Czech-made Volkswagen. It was a beautiful, sunny spring morning. I had been to this rehab center a couple times before, and our reception there was as warm as the weather. During our tour of the farm, we saw a line of about a dozen men as they had finished their chores, and they were walking from the field in the farm area toward the main house. And I have to admit that it just kind of reminded me of something out of a novel about the chain gang in the South, or about people in the gulag in Siberia. There's this men, this row of men. And I, you know, as they were going one direction, going the other. And I had been to this place before, and so I greeted a number of them. A number of them recognized me. We just said privet and walked by. But the last guy in line caught my eye. The last guy was this young guy, and he just was dragging. He was like dog tired. And so I said to the head of the rehab center I was walking with, I said, "Man, that guy is ochen ustal. That means he's very tired." And the director said, "Yeah, that's Roman. But Roman has only been here 2 days, and he's still going through detox. He's going through the DTs." When I went to lunch a few minutes later, I was looking for Roman. I sat down. They had these long kind of plank tables, just like you'd see in a movie, you know. Several of these long plank tables, and in front of me was the soup and black bread, some vegetables from the greenhouse, and salt. And I noticed Ramon at the end of the table. And he didn't look up. He was just eating his soup and his bread without a word. His eyes were dark, downcast, and drained of life. My task was to speak words of hope to these folks. I was expected to bring the word of God and to speak into their immediate life situation. What would I say? What would you say in that situation? You see, mission and ministry is as much about being there as it is about what you say. Now, don't get me wrong. What we say is huge, and it has to be true for the whole enterprise. Otherwise, it just rings hollow. But our being there must be true as well. How did I get there? How did this kid from a single mom in inner city Portland end up having lunch with Roman in this Russian countryside? Well, we believe in the providence of God, don't we? We believe in the leading of the Holy Spirit. There were 1,000, maybe 10,000 decisions and choices, both large and small, that I had made in my life. Those decisions which led me there to that place on that day. Now, I'd like to think that those decisions were led by, or at least influenced by, the Holy Spirit. I know that over the course of my life, not all of the choices that I made were godly choices. But God was not put off. God was not deterred. God was in that place that day. We were in God's presence, and my task was to speak words of hope from the Word of God. God had sent me. You had sent me. And I sat there in the company of these silent souls, and I knew that there was no better place in the world for me to be that day. I had no illusion that in myself I could change anyone's life. Reclaiming lives is the work of God by the power and the presence of His Holy Spirit. I knew that the entire staff at the rehab center served those seeking help because they had been saved from a life of addiction themselves. I knew that this rehab center and others like it were so effective because not because they focused so much on rehab as because they focused on redemption. They don't trust in technique and treatment as much as they trust in prayer and worship and the power of God to change lives and not simply behavior. Jesus told his disciples that in his physical absence, he would send a paraclete, a comforter, an advocate to be with them. They would need this paraclete to complete the task that he was asking them to do. They would need the comforter, the advocate, to make disciples and to bring hope to the world. Last Sunday, Pentecost Sunday, you celebrated the presence of that paraclete, the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit was poured out and the church was born. The church is really just people plus the paraclete. It's you plus the Holy Spirit. You are the church, the body of Christ. It is the paraclete, the advocate, the comforter, the Holy Spirit. It is God who changes and transforms lives. Yes, Pastor Ryan, God is on the move. God, the Holy Spirit, is alive and active and powerful and constantly teaching and reminding us of the things that Jesus did and said. Now, I share these two stories from these faraway and exotic places simply because that is where I live. It is up to you to catch God at work where you live. It is your job to cooperate with the Holy Spirit and to talk about it. The doctrine of the Trinity is the greatest scandal of the Christian church. No. It is simply our human, finite attempt to describe the divine and eternal nature of God. Let us be careful then not to make such great effort to describe God and neglect the person, presence, power, and grace of God. That would be a scandal indeed. Now, God is on the move. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit does not show up. God is already here. Divine Father, Son, and Spirit, we offer you our lives again today. Give us ears to hear the teaching of Jesus. Give us minds to remember the words of Jesus. Give us strength, God, to be your children, that we might be a blessing to this world. We pray this in your holy name.